Yo, welcome to episode 30, Dane, of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Bro, we made it to 30 episodes, man. Could you even, like, imagine us getting this far? It's actually been a year. It's crazy.
Wow. Dirty 30. Man, you know what? The crazy thing is, with yesterday being Thanksgiving, we have so much to be thankful for, you know, family, exactly. Friends, experiences, memories, even during this pandemic. But no, I didn't even think about this. One thing I'm just thankful for is just the fellowship that we've been able to have and just the fun that we've been able to have just talking on this podcast and
on the pod, meeting
so many different people that I would have never imagined. I would have never, in my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined it. Like, just seeing Jay Billis pop up on the timeline during the most recent verses, I was like, we actually talked to this dude
about
that's not supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to have that memory of, oh yeah, you know, spoke with this. Like, that's not supposed to happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I guess that's just a surreal feeling of it. You asked me a really short question. I gave it a super long one answer. That's my answer.
That was good. No, that's a good answer, man. And you mentioned Thanksgiving. We hope everyone that listens and follows the podcast had a great, safe and wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, 2020 has been crazy as it is, but we hope that you somehow find a way to celebrate family, or if you weren't with family, someone close to you, or at least got to talk on the phone with someone that you care about a lot, because like 2020 in general has just been crazy and, you know, unusual. So we hope that you guys had a great one. And what Dane and I wanted to do for this episode, since it's been a year, Dane, since we started this thing, Dane and I curated some of our moments from the past year. From, we try to grab some from each episode. We might, I think we grab at least a little clip from each episode to put together, Dane. But you kind of, you kind of mentioned it. What are you, like, what has this 1 year of doing this meant to you? You kind of mentioned it before. I guess I asked you again, though.
I guess to me, it's meant progress. Just, for those of you who don't know, or for those of you that have a life, since we went through and listened to every episode of our own selves from episode 1 to episode 29, I don't know about you, but Deontay, but me seeing our progression as to how we conduct ourselves in the podcast, as far as like speech patterns, just like the lulls, the pauses, little super awkward pauses, like that's, I mean, not to say we're professionals now. We're ready to be branded and all this type of stuff. And like, not to say we're there yet, but the progress that we've made is one thing I've appreciated the most. And then just on top of that, the progress we get to make, we made together was huge.
Yeah.
So
I agree, man.
We came a long way. We got more room to improve. Shout out to Omar. But you know, we're gonna appreciate the experience and the journey that we've been on so far until we get to that destination,
that pinnacle. Exactly. What you said, I agree with, man. Listening to how we started and where we ended up, the progression, the way we talk, of course we're not professionals at this. We just like, hey man, put the mics in front of us and let's just talk. And and then the number of guests that we've able to get on the show is just incredible, and hopefully we can continue that on to next season. Yes, this will be the end of season one of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. I guess we'll just make it into year seasons. That's the only way I feel like it would be kind of cool. So this episode right here, episode 30, will be the end of season one, and then we'll get back to it at some point. You know, Dane and I finally found ended our hunt for our PS5, so we man. So that
let me say this real quick, bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
I ain't gonna never hate on another man making money, but man, some of you dudes buying up 10, 15 consoles should be ashamed of yourself, and selling them for thousands of dollars. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Not because of the fact you're trying to make a buck. I get that. I understand. But the fact you're trying to make a buck during a pandemic and you taking out the hands of possibility, taking out the hands of me trying to get my PS5. And I'm just saying right now that I appreciate the journey that it took to get that mug, because I appreciate it more than anything now that I have it. But at the same time, I was like, ain't no way this should have been this difficult. But it is what it is. But
you know. People trying to gouge the market, and you know, but I'm glad we were able to secure for those still trying. Hope you get it as soon as you can. Yeah. But don't break your bank this, man. Just, you know, do what you gotta do, but be reasonable about it.
If you can't buy three of them, you can't afford it.
That's what they said.
If you can't purchase three of them, you can't afford it.
All right. We don't know how long this episode is going to be, depending on how many clips we put in here, but sit back and enjoy the anniversary episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
Now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
So, my name is Deontay Epps, alongside my brother from the third freaking grade, Dane Beasley. Dane Beasley, say what's up, bro.
Good evening, morning, afternoon, everyone. This is Dane Beasley, the other half of...
the other half of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. I guess that's where I was supposed to come in, y'all. I'm still working on this thing. We're new to this, but you know, with that teamwork will get together soon enough. To be honest, I thought your audio just cut off. I was about to say, you there?
Nah, man, you about to get fired.
I know. How you get fired on your day off?
I'm going to fire you on your podcast.
On your first day.
Every top-ranked team and all these athletes, so I can't say that I can find a favorite team. But what I do like is when these players are empowered. I love that. So that leads me to talk about this. The athletic director at Ohio State, James Smith, he went on record to explain why he basically quit the college football playoff
team. Oh, I saw that link, but I didn't.
Yeah. What was he talking about? Oh, man, you should have clicked. So he brought up his politically correct response for the first time someone asked him about it, why he quit. He's like, basically, he wanted, you know, focus on the team, help out the new coach, Ryan Day. Right. And then he, you know, we're talking about it again. It's like, wait a minute. Gene, Mr. Smith, talk to us. Tell us the real reason why you're no longer on the committee.
How you really feel?
Yeah, come on, Gene. Come on, if I will. So then he went on to say that he was concerned about the way that the committee or how the committee was applying the criteria and made him feel uncomfortable when he came back into the room, and how he was recused from talking about his rankings because of the way how Georgia was ranked ahead of
Ohio State
after their two-loss team and not a champion. So you can sense there was some deeper feelings, or that was maybe an abbreviated version of why he left. But there's definitely some that just
always rubbed me the wrong way, like how ADs are on the committee.
Isn't there gotta be another
set of people y'all can get, or go back to the computer and then just go top four from there? I don't know, man. There's no way. I won't say it's no way, but I feel like it's very hard not to be biased.
Yep.
Especially when you're an athletic director for a team that's in the fight for the playoffs. So that's just,
and knowing how frequently these athletic directors move around after before they're tenured, like, come on now, there are ties. If you do enough Googling, enough searching, you'll find ties from ADs in one conference to ties to another, you know, conference there. It's there.
Right.
As to what they get out of it, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of conspiracy about that, but there needs to be
there needs to be a separate third party developing these rankings, because
I agree.
There's too much on the line. You're playing with the futures of these, you know, athletes who, of course, are not guaranteed to have success in the thing that they love the most, which is football. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't even be 14. It shouldn't be a 14 playoff in the first place. If I'm being 100 right now, but that's a topic for another day. I'm gonna keep it short and simple. Three pieces of advice. The first piece of advice: never stop dating your spouse. You know, the same thing that helped you get her, make sure you continue to keep doing that. So if y'all thing was going on these long, extravagant, beautiful dates, then keep doing that. You know, make sure that you keep that a norm. Don't just throw that by the wayside just because, you know, she has the ring on her finger and in your last name. Second piece of advice, whatever foundation that you have, stick to it, man, whether it's faith-based or, you know, whatever works for you as far as keeping your everything centered on building that bond or building and keeping that bond that you all have, then keep doing that. And then thirdly, which is most importantly, in every piece of advice you get is not good advice. And that includes the three, the two steps that I just included, or the two pieces of advice I just gave you. So just because someone gives you a marriage advice doesn't mean you have to take it. And what works for them might not work for you. Whatever works in their first 5 years of marriage might not work within your first 5 years of marriage, or vice versa, you know? So any advice isn't good advice. So the three things I just told you, they might be horrible pieces of advice. And that's great. That's great, because it doesn't work for you. And that's perfectly fine. Just, I don't know, take it, throw it in a trash can. Don't ever listen to it. Let it go in one or the other and keep it moving. But yeah, that's all I got. Sorry if that's not good enough for you, you people. No. you people. Hey, you tuned in for a sports podcast, and then here you're getting romance tips and stuff. I know. So.
Right. Little did you know, the stuff in sports and stuff means romance, love. You know, we can be versatile with
We're versed in these things.
But
once long time ago, being hopeless romantics ourselves. So.
Facts. That is big facts. Both got lucky, man. Fortunate, blessed, and no, but that's great advice, bro. And
especially number three.
You know,
number three.
Yeah,
I'm dead serious.
Three. Don't listen to anything I said.
Don't listen to anything I said.
But no, I get it. Just make your own path, make your own way, and you know, just try to. A lot of it is about figuring it out as you go. Not marriage, because I'm not married, but you know, if you're with someone for a while, and you're gonna learn some things about them, and it's all about, you know, understanding who they are.
This is 1 + 1 = 10,000. Basically, how marriage works. Normally, you probably think it's 1 + 1 = 2, but it's definitely 10,000. How do you get to 10,000? I have no idea.
Marriage math. Marriage math.
Yes. Marriage math. I like that. Hashtag that, bud, and put that on a T-shirt or something. Make some money off of it.
Like one thing, everything I say go. But a lot of people still don't know or don't realize how big Texas or football is in Texas. They got
it's like AT&T a religion stadium, here, bro.
If you don't know about it, you just go to a state title game and you'll think it's a professional game.
There are stadiums in the state of Texas. No cap. There are stadiums in the state of Texas that are better than some college stadiums. High school football stadiums. And the first one that comes to mind for me, of course, I'm in Dallas, is Allen.
Allen.
Their stadium is magnificent. And it's their
magnificent.
Yeah. Magnificent.
Why does that part of that movie is so
it's
funny to me?
Funny. It's so out of place too, but it's funny because it's just, for those who don't know, we're speaking of Avengers Infinity War, the scene where Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, the collector.
The collector. He's inside of some sort of, he's being held captive in some sort of space
display,
some sort of cell. Yeah, some sort of display case. And after Gamora, spoiler alert, after Gamora kills who she believes is Thanos, which that happens to be part of the usage of the Reality Stone, she kills Thanos, and then of course he's, you know, cheering and saying magnificent, screaming at the top of his lungs, and then of course we are shortly all disappointed by a mirage of sorts. And, yeah,
that was funny.
And I hope with our first pick though, to go alongside my boy Cortland Sutton, and to give Drew Lock a weapon, I hope we get Henry Ruggs from Alabama.
Ooh.
That's who, because we got the 15th pick in the draft. Okay. I hope he falls down there.
Well, Deontay, you are in luck. Since I happen to be a self-proclaimed draft guru, I have my top 100 picks here in this Excel spreadsheet. I'll send it to you after this podcast.
Ah.
He currently sits in my third or fourth ranked wide receiver. And it doesn't mean much because I'm just little old me. I have no type of credentials that sets me in some sort of position to say this is, this is, you know, worthy of, you know, some sort of, you know, credit. This isn't anything, but if it's my guess, he's the third or fourth ranked wide receiver coming out this year, only behind Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and possibly Laviska Shenault. So you got a good chance there, man. Just you got to hope and you got to pray that all the other teams selecting ahead of y'all, these mediocre quarterbacks not named Joe Burrow and Tua, are pushed up in that top 10. That's your hope. Hope for that, but I think you should be good. But if you don't land that guy,
even
bro,
if I was just about to say, even if we don't,
if you don't land that receiver, you'd be good.
Man,
it's a deep wide receiver class, bro.
Receivers, so I'm not too worried about it. If we don't get Ruggs, we gonna get somebody.
Deep. Talk about Morbius.
Morbius reminds me of Morpheus. Every time I
hey man, Morpheus? Got that new Morpheus movie coming out. Don't you mean Morpheus?
Hey, Morpheus?
No.
Movie would be live,
no, man, bro. It got Lawrence Fishburne in it. Nah, bro, I think you're talking about Morbius.
Podcast Twitter is at the duo SNS. And we appreciate you guys once again listening, showing support, love, sharing our podcast with your friends, family, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. We have overseas listeners now. Actually,
we've gone international.
No, like one play from Spain, so that's cool.
Hey.
and one from England, so
hey,
that's pretty cool. We're gonna have to start learning Spanish, Dane. So,
you mean I know Spanish?
Say something in Spanish.
Okay.
you a fool, bro. You a fool, bro.
Death sometimes, and I hate it. I don't know why it's like this, but death sometimes brings everything full circle, including, you know, convicting you to, you know, reach out to your family members. So, you know, that's something I definitely need to work on. And then, of course, the other thing, when you brought up Shaq, you know, Shaq, and I'm not saying I didn't get to watch the special, but one of the things that came to my mind when I heard, you know, the first time he, you know, publicly spoke about it was, man, I am so glad that they got to squash the beef that they had.
Oh, and man.
That immediately reminded me, like, man, there's, you know, there's one particular person that I need to make a priority to reach out to and just, you know, let her know that even, you know, after all this time we haven't spoken, that, you know, basically just apologize for falling out. Real close friend. So when you're saying that, it kind of like made me feel like, man,
right.
I don't want to put myself out there like that. But I mean, if it helps, you know, two or three people say, you know, maybe I should hit up, you know, distant cousin that, you know, had a beef over some money or, you know, something stupid, something small.
It's not, and most of the time, you don't even remember what it was about.
I don't.
You just be like, man, whatever it was, it just doesn't even matter at this point.
It don't.
It doesn't even matter. And it's crazy because last episode, well, we talked about beefs. Or
sports beef.
It was a bunch of beefs. Yeah, right.
Sports
and
beef.
It's just all that. And like when things, unfortunately, when things like this happen, it takes
situations like these to happen for you to sometimes realize that it wasn't really that serious.
Never been that serious.
It's not even that serious. And that kind of goes towards the other thing when people talk about who the greatest, when they compared Kobe to LeBron, like all that.
I'm guilty.
Everybody is, yeah. Really. But like stuff like that now, it's just like, dang, we're really arguing about that. It's just.
Instead of just.
It's in comparing.
Yeah. Like you used to tell me all the time about LeBron, because I, for the longest, I was never a LeBron fan. Like, never. Mm-hmm. Like, and it wasn't even so much as LeBron. It was more than anything, it was just his fans. And I know there's bad fans in every, you know, fan base. But
right.
I remember.
No, they could be kind of crazy.
One of the most enlightening things that you've ever told me was, and this might have been like 2009, 2010. It's definitely when the Heat were, I think maybe it was during their first, it definitely wasn't their first championship that they went to. It was the second one, the one they actually won, if I'm not mistaken. When I told you, I said something along the lines of, LeBron is, not trash, but it's always Kobe over LeBron. And you say,
right.
It's not, and I'm paraphrasing what you said here, so I apologize if I didn't get everything right. But you told me in short.
You better get everything out. You better get everything right that I said.
Down to the syllables and the punctuation. Okay. You told me in so many words, just need to admire greatness. And over the past, we've put two players against each other. Yeah, put two players against each other and take it for granted, in the name of displaced pride and, humor in times. But I think I'm going to have a really hard time doing it again in the future, because it just made me feel like a little bit shallow as far as something so small as when I could just take the time to admire them versus pitting them against each other.
I was just going to say, I think it just for the most part, comes from this generation, not even this generation. I feel like that's always been a sports thing.
Yeah.
Where you compare eras, peak player, the top player. It's just how it's always been. Who's the best? Who's the greatest? Like, the world, I feel like the sports world in general lives off debate. It's just how it's always been. But you can honestly say that, it at times like this, it's just
pointless.
Or when things when things like this happen, it's just like, dang, this just can everything be great?
Right.
Can everything be great? But social media is hard to go on. And it took a while for me to after I put my phone down when I first heard about it, I think it was like maybe an hour. I was just on the couch, just sitting silently, and it's just, man, it's just tough.
I just think that it was in light of the tragedy itself, all of the lives that were lost that day. It was kind of, I appreciated the unity. It brought so many people together. And I know it's just such a small sample size, but everybody on Twitter, it kind of just seemed like, even in the midst of this happening, we still were able to, the best of everyone was brought out. And it sucks that it only happened through tragedy. I mean, not saying only happened through tragedy. It sucks that it appears that it came out of tragedy, but at the same time, like, what other better time, than to bring everyone's spirits up than to remind them, like, there are much bigger things here in play. So,
right. And to go along with what you said about the not even social media, just people in the world coming together in general. You saw people go to the Staples Center, of course, and to memorialize Kobe and even Gianna on a couple of there are some amazing artists in Los Angeles that put up the mural so quick. There's some great people. And then
$3.99.
The different players in the league, even around the world, sports athletes honoring Kobe,
right,
honoring Gianna, remembering the other victims and stuff like that with either changing a number. I think the NBA came out with a special way they're going to commemorate Kobe at the All-Star game.
Right.
I think LeBron's side is going to wear 2 for Gianna, and then Giannis's side is going to wear 24. And then there's some special rules for this year's All-Star game to honor Kobe Bryant. But I just think, yeah, in moments, you often see in moments in times like this, especially with an icon like Kobe, people coming together. We want to say to Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Christina Mauser, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Ara Zobayan. And to the families, we send our love and support. May you guys rest in peace. Sending love to the close ones and those that are friends with the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tough, but we'll get there, man, as far as moving on. But it's still numb at this point.
Yeah.
It's still numb. Dang, do you remember when our senior year when we had a realignment?
Yeah, when we got to end up in, yeah, it was a lot of controversy. Like, why the hell is Lake Travis even like why?
That was the craziest realignment. We were
didn't make any sense.
They didn't have 6A.
They didn't have 6A. It was 4A.
So we were 4A.
It would have been 5A this year.
Would have been 5A. Yeah, we had Lake Travis, us. Dripping Springs, Marble Falls, Lampasas.
Ooh.
What I really remember about the realignment is because it happened in February, so the seniors that I already played, they were like kind of upset. They're like, man,
we want to,
yeah, y'all lucky, man.
Nah, it didn't hit me until we were in a computer. It was one of the computer. Photoshop class. We did a lot of Photoshop and Adobe in this class, but I was in there with B. Howard and dang, who else was in there with us? I forgot. But when we found out about Lake Travis, they were just looking up videos of Garrett Gilbert, and they was like, man, this dude is crazy. Like, this dude was, I remember before class started, they were in there watching highlights of Garrett Gilbert. I was like, man, that ain't nothing, man. And in the back of my mind, I was like, man, this is about to be a rude awakening because we got all the speed. It's going to be all right. We going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, 2 blowouts later, it was like, yeah, them fools is a real deal.
And on our 10th episode,
we
have our very first guest joining us on the 10th episode. We had to make it a little special. This guy we've known for, man, it's been double-digit years. Too long to count, too many years to count, all the way from the elementary school days. Our friend, our brother, and our Olympic athlete, Olympic hopeful, Omar Craddock. Omar, how you doing, bro? We appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, one, I appreciate the intro, but and two, I thank y'all. Thank y'all. Like, I was looking forward to this when we first mentioned it. So
you've been at the top of your game, you know, high school, college, you know, professionally. So through all those years, through all these different meets, these competitions, what keeps you motivated?
Man, just knowing that I can always get better. You know, I in college, I started like this brand, you know, Room to Improve, because I just truly believe in it. And obviously the Room to Improve is for every aspect of life. So I've always, as a kid, man, I always wanted to be a businessman. I always wanted to own something. I always wanted to have an empire, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I have this talent or this ability to jump. So it's like, you know what? One, I don't have the world record. So I'm definitely still pushing for that. So that's the easy motivator, right?
Okay.
The world record. I want this championship. So that's one. Also, you know, family keep me motivated because again, as a kid, you know, my parents, they built this pride in our last name. Oh, you a Craddock. You hold your head up, you know, we be confident. Mm-hmm. And but what I looked up to was, you know, sports. And I always wanted to see a Craddock jersey. I was always like, yo, I know we great, but how come nobody wears like Craddock on a jersey? You see Williams, you see, you know what I'm saying? You'll see some Beasleys or you'll see some Epps. Oh, you know what I'm saying? You'll see this, but you don't see Craddocks. You know what I'm saying? You don't see it on the professional rankings. So that's another way that I'm just like, you know, for my nephew when he's coming up, for my unborn children, for my cousins, for my mother rather, you know what I'm saying? For my brothers and my mm-hmm. sisters. You wear my last name. So when you see, if you go to the store and you're like, oh, it's a Craddock track jersey. That's a moment that they can be like, yo, this is us. And regardless, I might not be the next track athlete, but I will be the next whatever. Mm. And that's, you know, that's my motivation. And this, man, we live on a world, we live on this planet where, you know, everybody wants to leave a mark. And every day, that's all I'm trying to do. I want to leave my mark of just who I am. Mm-hmm. And right now, this triple jump in this sport right now is a part of who I am. Right. So I just want to run with it, man. I want to, you know, sports. Man, I could drag questions, man, but.
No, you good. Yeah, take it away. This is what we're here for.
Yeah. Sports, man.
Making it easy for us.
Right. Sports, you know, entertainment like really carries this globe, you know, and entertainers. If you're a musician, you have the hearts and the ears of people. If you're an athlete, you motivate people to want to be healthy. You motivate people to want to try something new. And so being that I'm in this sport, I'm in the oldest sport known to man.
Man.
And I'm doing things, you know, I'm competing for and toward history, right?
Yeah.
And when you put your name in history, you're established. You know, because people go to school and they read history books, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we got Black History Month, you get what I'm saying? So these are important things, and I feel like, you know, the Lord blessed me to be in a profession where I get to challenge history all the time.
Whew. Man, that's
just gave myself chills with that one. Wow.
Yeah, that's deep. When you think about it, because you can always have a debate whether, you know, who's the greatest football player of all time, you know, who's the greatest basketball player of all time, you know, MJ or Kobe, stuff like that. When you say who's the fastest man in the world, you can't. There is no toss-up between that. It's either, you know, you're at the top or you're not. So, man, that's that's real.
I got another guest for us, and it happens to be my lovely,
General,
beautiful, awesome fiance, Karina. Karina, say hi to everyone.
What's up?
Welcome.
So, welcome to a beautiful podcast we have here.
It's okay.
Karina's title for our podcast, she is our what job do you have here?
You took away my title.
No, I didn't. I gave it back.
I'm the podcast sponsor. First of all of this equipment, I'd like to say, has been provided by me. You're pretty welcome,
bam,
everyone.
Pretty much.
I was the digital coordinator, but I got that revoked because I kept falling asleep trying to make y'all a website.
Yeah, she hasn't finished the website yet. So, but she's going to finish it soon. She is going to finish it soon. But how are you dealing with the virus going around, and how does it feel working from home and being around me 24/7?
I'd have to say that it's been nice, but also disastrous. Deontay almost just walked into my video conference call shirtless. At one point, he was screaming at his game while I'm on a call with bank presidents. So you could say it's going okay.
You know, is it looking for us? Is he, you know, when they're looking at I'm assuming this is what they're looking at from the pro day, not to see if it proves anything different from the tape, but just to see what does he look like throwing the ball? Does he look like one of those actors in a Netflix show trying to throw a ball? Is the, I guess, the big
Lord,
question.
All American, my God.
I still got to get through season 2. Don't tell
me. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah.
God, I hate. They got to work on that. Golly.
But you know, crazy thing is he played receiver. He was a
No,
dead serious. He was a receiver in high school, and he was on a track scholarship to Indiana State. I'm talking about quarterback.
Okay, I
Jordan.
Can see it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan. So
Jordan. So Jordan played receiver. I'm just out of position on the show.
Spencer. Spencer on them route, bro.
Well, he was a basketball player. He's a basketball player.
So they probably play more soccer. Probably play more soccer in over there where he's from. So,
and plus that, I know a scene you're talking about. The scene where he ran the curl route.
Yeah.
In his defense, he had on regular tennis shoes. Like, homie didn't have any cleats on. He had regular tennis shoes.
I can't get with it.
Oh my god.
Oh man, that's funny. What other things are you kind of expecting? Or wanting to learn, or something you may not know when watching this documentary.
There's two things. One, there's a bunch of unseen footage from the run that hasn't surfaced or been, you know, shown to anybody except for, of course, people in the background. I'm looking forward to that. Two, or actually, I got 3 points. Two, nostalgia. I love retro nostalgia, like, because you know, we were kids, but we grew up in that era, that 90s, that late 90s era of, you know, Mike being the face of the NBA. Like, everybody wanted to be Mike. It was in first grade, wanted to be Mike. Didn't know why, but just because, or of course, Space Jam, you know, the Jays, and just he was the embodiment of basketball. So,
yeah,
that I can't wait to relive that nostalgia, you know, or have that just flowing through, like, man, I remember that. Like, you're going to see so many different, you know, advertisements. You're going to see so many different logos that don't look the same. Like, of course, back in the 90s, it looked a lot different. And it's like, whoa, like, so that. And of course, lastly, just the perspectives from all the celebrities. Because, you know, they're going to have the interviews from, you know, from current NBA players, presidents, you know, talk show people, dudes that do podcasts, unfortunately not us. So
they didn't hit us up for this one.
yeah. No hard feelings. Just kidding. But had anything to add anyways. I don't know. I wouldn't have had anything to add. I don't remember anything back then like that. But mostly that's it, man. And you know, this is, aside from the draft, this is going to be COVID-19 Super Bowl. Like, and when you think about it, because we're probably not going to get the Olympics. You know, we didn't get, you know, March Madness. Well, we got it. It just came in a different format. We didn't get the satisfaction of seeing a lot of things. So this gets to be the big showdown. This documentary, so I'm excited about that, G.
That's a great point. You know, not having, it's some type of sports entertainment that, you know, we all care about, and I think that even makes it more. I know it's Jordan and the Bulls already, but having it right now and dropping it right now with there's nothing going on besides, you know, the NFL draft, but. I think we talked about it even a few episodes ago when they were teasing that it could come out early. Mm-hmm. This is going to break records, man. Everybody's going to be tuning in Sunday night. Yep. Everybody's going to be tweeting about it. Everybody's going to be posting about it. It's just going to be on another level on that sense. And I don't know if you got to see it, but a few days ago, they dropped 5 minutes from the first episode. It was on social media.
I didn't watch it.
And it automatically captivated you. It was talking about, I mean, because obviously you mentioned it. We were kids during this run. So that's one of the main things.
But we still knew we wanted to be like Mike, even though we were kids. Right. Crazy.
Right. Like the way you and I know about sports now, we obviously weren't on that level then. We just knew Michael Jordan, you know, he was the best. We knew that.
Yep.
But to be able to see the background behind the scenes look, the day to day, the personalities. We can kind of get a better perspective of how things were then. And to go back to that 5 minutes that they showed. So basically what this documentary is, it's not of Michael Jordan's career. It's going to focus on that last championship season that they had. And it was explaining, the little teaser was explaining how, you know, they had won 5 titles already, but the GM was the one butting heads with everybody, butting heads with Mike, the stars, because he believed he was the reason Chicago was winning and not Michael and not Phil Jackson.
Jerry Jones? I thought you were telling a story about the 90s Cowboys. Like, wait a minute. This sounds way too familiar. Jerry, my bad.
This guy's name escapes me, but it's already Thomas. Setting the stage for that battle that's going to happen. And I'm just excited and pumped to kind of get the behind the scenes. NFL, NBA, NHL, they all have unions, right? They're all in a group. Mm-hmm. So those group and unions sign deals with the makers of EA sports games like that. The NCAA does not have a union. The student athletes don't have a union.
Can't unionize, not yet.
Right. So what the NCAA is saying here, which I there's ways, in my opinion, that it can be done. But NCAA is, we know that we talked about how slow footed the NCAA is and how they've been setting their ways. So in my personal opinion, I think we will see video games down the line. But NCAA, they're just taking their time with it.
Oh, yeah. Hope they're hoping and praying all these repercussions that are these scenarios and contingency plans don't go the way that don't benefit them. If that makes sense, what I just said, maybe. Basically, NCAA, like, wait a minute. They calling our bluffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, we knew this day would come. We just didn't know it was going to come this soon.
Yeah.
Like,
It's just baby steps, man. And it's, in my opinion, it's a knee-jerk reaction as far as we've been telling the NCAA, like, not us personally, but, you know, NCAA have been receiving a lot of grief about getting with the times. And you see these players, and you're going to continue to see these players make these decisions to not partake in what the NCAA is giving them. So NCAA is like, hey, okay, all right, this stuff they've been telling us for years. Okay, let's do this. Let's finally get with the times. Let's get with what we got to do to ensure our product, our players, our prospects stay with us. And so, but I mean, that's pretty much what I got to say.
Hey, you got to add another wrinkle to that, though. You got to add the wrinkle to ... italicize, as well as put an asterisk next to, oh, dang, we got to, you know, this coronavirus affecting not only the lives of our students, but we might not even get athletic seasons coming up. So what is this going to do to our income,
mm-hmm.
the money that we make off of these students?
Yep.
I mean, the money
we didn't have 85% of our budget from March Madness come in. We didn't have a March Madness.
Nope.
We losing money left and right. What we got to do, type thing.
With the NCAA seasons in jeopardy the way that they are, and of course the NBA talk, and I might be getting ahead of myself, so I apologize, but the NBA considering openings based on the state's designation is huge for a lot of these players that have already committed to the G League. So the NBA TV subscriptions might be going through the roof if more and more of these prospects continue to make that step about, you know, decommitting from these universities and, of course, going ahead and getting their worth elsewhere. So shout out to them for taking that step. It's a huge leap of faith. And they're all, you know, if anybody's equipped to do it, it's certainly these young guys.
We have a Baylor alum and also from the Central Texas area, my guy, Derwin Graham. Derwin, appreciate you coming on with us, man. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. It's a blessing to be with you boys. So I'm just happy to be here.
You know, we live in a world of debate, always have lived in a world of debate. Mm-hmm. And so in your how do you stand on the GOAT debate of Michael Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, whoever? And how did working on this documentary change that perspective, if it did at all, or did it enforce something that you already believed about who you think is the greatest of all time?
Man, see, the GOAT debate is always weird because it's like you want to fully appreciate people for what they did back then and right. then the now. But I mean, just being so deeply involved with this Jordan doc, I mean, it kind of reinforced the idea of Jordan being the GOAT. Like, this man set the standard for everybody. He made himself and the Bulls a global commodity, and everybody had to have Bulls stuff and the Jordan sneakers and stuff. And he set it up at a time where there was no social media or anything. He just did it all off of just word of mouth, his name and his game. And he helped guys like LeBron be able to be where he is now, where he can be a global commodity. So, I mean, Jordan was the standard. So, I mean, you got to appreciate the standard. So I think he stands out because of that.
Man, I think for me, for sure, I don't even know where I stood before. Like, if we're actually going to talk about debate, of course, you, like you said, they're in different eras and stuff like that. But man, how could you not sit there and just appreciate, after watching something like this, the mentality, the effort, everything that he put himself into to become where he is now? And then I kind of and it's also about what the now of it. Like, say in 20, 30 years when a LeBron doc comes out, man, about what he went through, people probably going to drop and say, you know what I'm saying? Hey, he's the GOAT.
Like, as good as MJ, though.
Right, right. Like, what have you done for me lately? Like, we're seeing it now. So that only reinforces a lot of people going to say GOAT. But that's an interesting thing, because that's always going to change. Like, people are always going to have their personal opinion. So I feel like that'd be a fun question to ask you, like, yeah, how that changed. I mean, yeah.
Everybody has different GOAT opinions. You know, some might say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the GOAT because he's number one all time. Some will say Magic Johnson or something. So, you know what I mean? It's interesting just to hear people's takes and stuff. And I don't think everybody's wrong, that everybody's a great hooper out there. So.
Yeah. The NFL owners likely to vote in favor of extending EA Sports Madden NFL exclusive license. So Albert Breer tweeted, another big voting matter for next week's virtual owners meeting, which we had been talking about throughout the episode today. NFL teams will vote to ratify a 5-year extension of their video game licensing agreement with EA Sports through the 2026 season.
Guys over at EA, they prioritize certain modes in Madden that generate the most money. That is the Madden Ultimate Team. Why, I just discovered the Madden Ultimate Team on this year's Madden about 2 weeks ago. I haven't been able to put it down. Not for the same reason that the folks over at EA ooze and drool over it, but that particular mode in Madden, of course, as many of you know or probably don't know, that brings in a lot of money by way of microtransactions. And, of course, unethical way that brings in a lot of money is by gambling. It's not necessarily, you know, kids showing up at the slots and putting in a few tokens to, you know, possibly win something. It's more so you purchasing in-game currency with the hopes of opening a package, and in that package you possibly having a card of your choosing, but the likelihood of you actually getting a card that you like is very small. So that's high risk, low reward. And until that particular function or that particular section is separate from Madden, it will never change. Because if that cash cow continues to bring you money, what is going to incentivize you to change the game or to add anything new to it or to change the thing that they haven't changed in years, the franchise mode?
You know, you have a young son that I'm sure you're going to have to teach about everything that's going on. So after hearing what I said at the beginning during the pod, how are you feeling then at that moment compared to now?
I feel like we
had the space to think about what was going on, the way that these tragedies have affected us individually, as well as in terms of a family unit. We are tired, but in light of everything that's going on with all these black men and women being murdered, most of them captured on camera, we still have to see that, go to work the next day, enjoy our leisure the next day, look our loved ones in the eyes, and they say, and try to continue living in spite of what's going on outside. That's every interaction that you have in a car, every interaction that you have in a store, every interaction that you have with you possibly selling baked goods on the side of a highway, you have to think at the back of your mind, this could end horribly. So, like you said, having to bottle all that up, put that in a box, put that box in a folder, and put that folder over here while you continue to live out your life is tough, but we have to do it because, like you said, if we don't fight during this generation, much like the generation before us and the generation before them, the generations that's going to come after us is going to be doing the same exact thing.
One thing we can talk about, though.
getting paid.
Patrick Mahomes, boy.
You should have had that.
What song?
Money.
Oh, yeah. Facts. Patrick Mahomes cashed out, y'all.
Yeah.
Obviously, the highest deal ever in NFL history. 10 years, $503 million. Half a billy.
With a B.
Does he deserve it, Dane?
Well, that's a really small amount. That's just projecting. What they're doing right now is projecting. But in about 3-4 years, that deal is going to look really awful. But yes, he deserves every nickel and penny dollar of that deal. But it's still underpaid. He's still under, based on what we've seen so far from his very short career, he is severely underpaid.
Right, and you don't really realize that right now. And I know one of our earlier episodes we talked about, I think it was right after he won the Super Bowl, of him being the GOAT. And yeah. I mean, the GOAT is a term, you know, that can be, it's up to the person to decide how they want it. Like, it, you can have the GOAT in terms of being the best right now.
Right.
Rather than being the best of all time, because obviously his career is young. He could have a God forbid, season ending, career ending injury, you know, and it ends right here. But right now he's the best quarterback in football.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs are like, we're going to pay you like the best quarterback in football, the best player in football. Yeah. And so I can honestly say as a Broncos fan, Damn. Air horns. Where are my air horns? Jamal Adams. Seahawks.
You hungry for that?
New Legion of Boom. Jamal Adams. We had talked, Dane, maybe 2 days ago when that report came out, how he was talking about Adam Gase.
Oh, yeah. Calling him out about his leadership.
Yes. When I first saw that, my first thought was like, how do you, from the coach's side, how do you coach somebody that doesn't believe in you at all and comes out and say this statement?
Basically questions your manhood.
Right. How do you come out and like the respect factor at that point is gone. Like,
non-existent.
He's saying you're not a leader. He's saying you're not going to be able to lead this team. So at that point, what else is there to talk about? I don't have the quote in front of me, but he was basically questioning Adam Gase as a head coach, saying he's not a leader. Mm-hmm. He doesn't communicate with his players. He came out with that, and my first thought was, yeah, he gone. They sent him to Seattle for Bradley McDougal, a first-round pick in 2021, third-round pick in 2021, a first-round pick in 2022. Mm. So that's a lot of first-round picks. That's two first rounds and a third for Jamal Adams. And so, Dane, before we started this episode, we talked about people on Twitter who automatically become analysts, automatically determine mm-hmm. who won the trade. So mm-hmm. what's your beef with people that do that?
My beef goes back to two seasons ago when Amari Cooper was traded. I know this has to do with the Cowboys. I'm sorry. Kill me. The Cowboys traded the Raiders for Amari Cooper. In exchange, the Cowboys gave up a first-round pick. And immediately, everyone said the Cowboys are stupid, you know, the XYZ because of the trade. Because in comparison to all the other receivers that got traded for pennies, you have, Golden Tate and was it Demaryius Thomas that got traded? I can't remember. Okay, a number of other receivers were traded, but they were day three picks. And the assumption immediately was the Cowboys got finessed in the pick because they gave up a one. Now, here's the thing you have to consider. One, there wasn't a receiver in that draft that was going to be better than Amari Cooper. It just wasn't there. There are a lot of great names in that draft, but none of them were going to be as NFL ready as Amari Cooper. So there's no way for you to say that particular trade, who won that particular trade then, because you'd have to see how the first round pick turns out. If the first round pick turns out to be a five-time All-Pro, you know, Super Bowl, double Super Bowl MVP, then yes, absolutely, they won that trade. But if that particular player gets injured the first season, and let's say they're not even a starter, they're like an on-the-cusp guy, then who won the trade? It's no different now. There's no way for us to determine if the, you know, Seahawks won the trade or the Jets won the trade. Yes, they have. The Jets ended up getting additional first-round picks. But let's not be too shallow here and naive. No disrespect intended, but if you look at the, let's say, for the sake of my argument, to help my argument, the last 10 drafts that the Jets have, Deontay, I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but off the top of your head, can you name three players that have a lasting impact on that franchise?
In the last few years? I mean...
Yeah, the last 10 years from the Jets franchise. First round picks.
That have? Are you just saying that have done well or that... What are you asking me exactly?
Based on... Have they done well? Have they contributed to the Jets? Based on if you're a general manager for the Jets, your job is to draft the best player with the first overall pick in, or question. You're the first round pick of that particular season.
Right.
For this reason, you have two picks, two additional first round picks.
I mean, Sam Darnold has shown promise, but I mean, we haven't seen him be first round pick material yet. Like, you know, right. Other than that, I see what you're saying. No.
So the point I'm trying to make here is the team in question, the Jets, have been very questionable in terms of player evaluation and acquisition of those, you know, first round selections. If they were hitting on the money with every single one of those picks, or at least the majority of those picks, we wouldn't even be talking about this. We'd say the Jets definitely won based on their player evaluation. But they haven't. So we can't really say right now if they won the, you know, won the entire haul in from the trade, because their drafting has been pretty sketchy for the last few years. Outside of Jamal Adams and possibly Sam Darnold and... I guess you can include Sheldon Richardson in that. He had a pretty decent
few seasons. But he ain't there no more.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, there's still Quinnen Williams and Mekhi Becton, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, on the other side of that, Jamal Adams heading to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And
ooh-wee.
The same, I immediately thought of Legion of Boom. I said it in the drop because... Yeah.
Bold.
Jamal Adams plays similar to how Cam Chancellor played in that defense. I'm just imagining him being put in positions the way Cam Chancellor was, as far as, you know, being that enforcer across the middle, being that inbox safety linebacker hybrid where you can come up and make defensive stops. And I think if Seattle can sign Clowney back, man, they could make some real noise in NFC. What do you think? I'm thinking like
– I think so too.
Yeah, because
– it just becomes Russell. Hard because why isn't – I mean, that leads to another conversation. What is the deal? I mean, is it the physical contact that you can't have right now is why Clowney isn't signed or what?
But I think he's preventing
him from coming back?
I think it's a combination of pride and him wanting the deal he thinks he's worth at this point. But, I mean, he's had health issues. He hasn't been healthy. Didn't he miss games this past season as well? Or am I tripping? Yeah.
So no, he missed. I think he missed one or two games.
Right. So I mean, he's. I think he'll eventually sign, obviously, but it's not going to be for what he wants. And
yeah,
maybe he's seeing this Jamal Adams deal and like, okay, if I come back here, we got a chance to make some noise in the NFC because I'm not sure if Seattle addressed that offensive line. Maybe they did in the draft. I'm not aware, but if they get that O-line situation intact, then, you know, Seattle can make some good noise in the NFC. That whole division, like we just talked about, Dane, made some big moves this offseason. The Niners went and got Trent Williams, left tackle. Of course, the Cardinals went and traded for DeAndre Hopkins, give him a big target for Kyler Murray. And, you know, the Seahawks getting Jamal Adams. So that might, you know, last year was one of the toughest divisions in football. And, you know, I definitely believe it'll be that way again this season.
They were definitely, in my opinion, that is going to be one of the more exciting on paper. This is all on paper because we haven't seen any type of physical contact or any drills, team drills, anything like that. We can't make that determination. Honestly, you can make the determination, but we'll be honest. On paper, that might be the most fascinating and fun division to watch, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I agree with you, bro. But not everybody was happy with this trade, Dane.
Oh, no. Who was unhappy, Deontay?
Somebody did not.
Did you hit the bell?
Like this trade. So Le'Veon Bell, New York Jets running back.
But the tables have turned.
Oh, have they? Right when the trade went down, he got his Twitter fingers out and he said,
"You messy for that."
He said, "People do all the hooting and hollering to get you brought in just to leave." LOL, like people weird, yo. The internet got these dudes doing whatever for attention. Even when they tell you SHIT, they don't believe themselves. Who's he talking about? If you're big fans of the Netflix show Last Chance U, this is the final season that just dropped on Netflix. We're joined by receiver RJ Stern. RJ, appreciate you coming on, man. Big fans of the show. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you guys for reaching out and having me on here. It's appreciate it a lot. You know, like, man, if people aren't saying basically fuck this cat, I think you're not being yourself because you can't please everybody. Yeah, man. I'm not going to change for no one, man. Unless it's being detrimental to the people around me and myself, I'm going to continue to be me. And so, and I can give a damn what people have to say about me in a negative sense. It's crazy, man. My boy, John McDonald, he called me. I don't want to get too into it, but we were talking and it's like some of his teammates were like, they felt kind of a little skeptical of me, you know. And they talked to me and they were like, my bad, bro. My bad. I'm going to delete that. Follow me back. You know, but it just takes a conversation is my point. And so if people don't want to have that conversation, people don't want to think, then like, they just got issues with themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's all good. It's all good. I'm fine with being labeled that way because the best receivers want the ball, right?
We played receiver in high school, not on the college or Duco level, but Dane and I went to high school together. And I mean, we both play receivers. So that's like the mentality, like I can make plays. So I feel you on that one. Once again, we have another guest.
Oh, man.
This guy is a big time icon. He led Duke to the championship in 1996 under Coach K. He's the ESPN and College Game Day icon, Jay Billis. Jay, how you doing this afternoon? And thank you for joining us today, man.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to be with you guys. You know, this is unprecedented in our lifetimes. You know, it's a once in 100-year pandemic, or at least the last one was 100 years ago in the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918. But, you know, I don't think it's in their nature to share information with the public. But it struck me from the very beginning. Look, it's not like I didn't bring it up with people I knew within the structure saying, you guys are missing an opportunity here. You need to be, you know, when they were making decisions to cancel the NCAA tournament, you know, you should be sharing the information that your medical professionals are giving you and that you're basing your decisions on with the public. And they've had all these opportunities throughout the course of this. You know, whenever any of these commissioners sits down for a press conference, it's news and it's covered as news. So have your medical professionals out there with you. I mean, why do I have to turn on CNN to listen to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, which is great. But when the best infectious disease, and he's one of the best infectious disease experts, but when the best infectious disease experts in the country are on NCAA campuses, why aren't they helping educate the public on that? They should be. And we'd have a better understanding of things. And it would help all of us, not just help justify their decision. The NCAA can show much more leadership here than they've shown. And look, if to me, even if Mark Emmert can't tell them whether they can play or not, he can step in front of a microphone and say, here's the information we're getting from our medical experts. We deem it irresponsible to play. And here's why. And then put it on the conferences to explain why they're playing anyway. That's what leadership is.
We have another guest today.
Who is it?
One and only.
Say something, Scott. Hey.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Hey, I was waiting for you to give me the intro. Appreciate that.
Did you guys happen to catch that list, top 100 players list that the players do every year? Voted on by the players and NFL Network, you know, does a little countdown and social media goes crazy. Why isn't this person here? Same old recycled story, you know. The players all voted, and the top player for the 2020 season is Lamar Jackson. Do y'all agree with that?
Ooh. I'm kind of iffy. You know what? I'm going to make it 50-50. I'm going to say 50-50 because Heyman Mahomes had a really, really good season. And, you know, Mahomes took the Chiefs to the Super Bowl and won. So, I mean, a lot of people say, why is he not a number one player, you know? But also, you know, Lamar Jackson had one heck of a season. So it all depends on – I think it's an opinion-based and also a numbers-based thing. I'm 50-50 on that because Lamar Jackson is a overall talented player, you know. So is Mahomes. And from what I heard, Mahomes was ranked number 4, which is kind of surprising.
Right.
Yeah.
Here. So,
and he was ranked 4 last year during his list. So that's the part that's like, if I'm a player, you know, they – played against these guys. And so for them, when I'm thinking they're saying about Lamar, putting Lamar over Patrick Mahomes, is it's kind of saying Lamar is a talent that, well, you could say that for Patrick Mahomes. Both are talents we've never seen. Like the way Mahomes can chunk the ball, looks like with a flick of the wrist, like 80 yards down the field, is crazy. In my opinion, I would put Mahomes number one. Just for the fact that he won the Super Bowl, they had like 3 different comebacks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They were down multiple scores.
Houston, Texas game.
I love Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I love Lamar Jackson, but we haven't seen him take, you know, the playoff step. You know, he's only been in the league 3 years, right?
This would be year number 3.
This is his third year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course, they're both still young. I would put Mahomes over Lamar Jackson. I mean, He He won the Super Bowl. He carried his team there. Lamar is crazy. You know, Lamar, we all know how great Lamar is. And Dane, I know you is thinking, but I just think for Mahomes to be ranked under him and Russell Wilson. Russell, and that's another thing. Russell Wilson, I like him at number two, just for the fact that his O-line has been trashed for years and he's still balling and carrying that team. And so I like him at two. I put Mahomes one, and I will put Wilson at two. What say you, Dane?
Well, gentlemen, we have a fork in the road. We have a tangled web.
We weaved.
With a tangled web, we have here. So the issue I have is, one, context. When was the list developed? When were the players polled? Because in some of the videos from the top 100, the video was dated January 29th or January 28th. So it's a few days before the Super Bowl. I'm not sure if the video was recorded at the same time as the poll was taken. And I've also heard that some of the polls were taken in November, whereas there was still a hefty meat of the season hadn't taken place. So if the voting is based on just the regular season, that's one thing. But if the voting is based on the entire season, then it's flawed because you're not able to you can't say, OK, for the sake of this argument, let's say, and I know they're both in the AFC. For the sake of this argument, let's say the Chiefs and the Ravens made it to the Super Bowl. Not likely at all, but for the sake of the argument. If we're going to determine who the better quarterback is, more than likely you're going to base off of who wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that if you're unable to see the greatest game of the year. The greatest game of the year is always and will always be the Super Bowl. If we're basing this off of that, we have a flawed voting system. I understand that everyone's supposed to be on a level playing field. If everyone's supposed to vote during week 13, then that's fair. But we don't even get to see 16-game schedule if this is based on the current year, the full body of work. Who's to say that a player was hurt three or four games out of the season and then they came off and they finished strong the rest of the season and they're hurt by that? So I guess I said all that to say this, as my grandfather-in-law says. I say that Patrick Mahomes should be number one. Number two, in my opinion, should be Aaron Donald. And number three should be Russell Wilson. And then number four might be Lamar Jackson. Or it might be Stephon Gilmore. I don't know. But it all depends on the context of when they voted.
My brother Dane could not join us this afternoon, but I am joined by ESPN personality Trey Wingo. Trey, appreciate you so much for stepping in and taking Dane's place for the day.
Happy to do it. And, you know, Dane, you're lost, man. I guess your children are more important. Whatever. They're not saying we're the ones that are being this. We're fighting for the people who don't have what we have and want equal treatment. And you hope it's a turning point. But then again, you know, the Jacob Blake thing happened. And this has been a rough year on a lot of levels for a variety of reasons. If there was ever a year that could use a term in golf called a mulligan, it would be 2020. But it would be disingenuous of me or anybody to say, well, this is just a 2020 thing. This has been going on forever. And I think that's the reason Emmanuel Acho, who now works for Fox and used to work for us, has that thing. We need to have some uncomfortable conversations. And some of us need to listen and some of us need to speak. And some of us that have been speaking for a long time are probably the ones that need to shut up and listen.
Time in our history with the Black Lives Matter movement, fight against social injustices and stuff like that. And we've seen recently with the NBA stoppage, the Milwaukee Bucks, that kind of thing. It has spread to other leagues. Like, you've seen other leagues take a stand as well with stoppages, wanting changes in the government and social changes in what we're going through right now. In your opinion, is the NFL ready for that? Because as we know, 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took that knee, they weren't ready.
Yeah. You know, and again, people don't want to remember this or believe it, but, you know, I used to get letters, like literally handwritten letters at ESPN saying I was making this up, but it was a former Green Beret from the state of Texas named Nate Boyer.
Yeah.
Calling that kneeling was respectful. And some people just don't want to hear that. And they don't want to believe that. And some people just will never be okay with that. And that's fine. That's their prerogative, but it's also his prerogative to do that. And I think that's the thing that always gets lost on me. We as a country are great because we're allowed to think differently than each other. We're allowed to have differences of opinion. If we're all on the same lockstep, we all have to think the same way. That's not a democracy. That's a dictatorship. And I think that the most amazing thing to me, first of all, to answer your question, I think the NFL is ready. And I think the NFL realized that they weren't ready 4 years ago and they made mistakes. And, you know, Roger Goodell just had did a one-on-one with Emmanuel Acho, you know, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, where he admitted we handled this incorrectly. And, you know, I think you're going to see people, players speaking out, and they're not concerned what people think anymore, because they keep living in a time where they keep seeing things like, you know, after the murder of George Floyd, it was supposed to be a turning point. And then Jacob Blake is shot 7 times in the back, you know, and that is unacceptable. That can't happen. And I think it's easier for professional athletes to feel that way. What I've been really, really amazed at is how quickly college athletes have found that they have power and that they have a way with things. Just ask Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State head coach, how quickly he found out.
Right.
Mike Northrup, the new head coach of Florida State, when he put out something that, you know, at best was misleading, and his best player, linebacker Marvin Wilson, whom he did not recruit, you know, said, no, that ain't right. And Northrup had to come correct on that. The most amazing thing to me over all this is how quickly college athletes have discovered the power that they have. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it going forward, because, you know, when you get paid and you get paid handsomely, like most people do in professional sports, obviously there's a sliding scale between a Patrick Mahomes contract and a rookie gunner on a special teams contract, but still, you know, it's a pretty decent living. I think that it's easier for those people to speak up and those players to feel empowered and emboldened. It's been remarkable to see how quickly college athletes have realized we have a power and we have a platform and we are going to use it. And how many times coaches who have been the authoritarian figure for so long in college sports realize we may not have as much authority as we once thought we did. And I think that balance and that shift is good for everybody.
So here is our sit down talk with Master Tusfasi.
Growing up in the state of Texas, or just knowing about Texas culture, knowing about the Black struggle, what type of mindset do we need to have moving forward for people that look like us to understand that, you know, maybe my vote does mean or count for something?
Yeah. That's a good question, man. Cause like, to be honest with you, I never like, I voted every single time I've had the opportunity to vote for a national, for a presidential election. But beyond that, like I did it kind of from a, like whatever standpoint and perspective, because man, ultimately like it was hard for me to believe in the election process here in this country, knowing at the end of the day, they really don't give a fuck about me. You know, they generally don't. And, I can understand how someone would feel that way and still feel that way. Cause you know, that's something I'm still working through. You know what I'm saying? But as I'm starting to learn and understand and recognize, and I think we all are collectively in terms of, you know, these different verdicts that have popped up, the charges that get done, and who are the people in power to do all of that. And knowing that, you know, oftentimes it's like a couple thousand people vote for this dude. And a couple hundred thousand people sitting, you know what I'm saying? So it's remarkable to see how much influence and power can be had due to the simple fact that people are just simply ignoring the importance of the position. And so that's what I would keep in mind for people. And that's what I'm keeping in mind too. Cause you know, right now, you know, since I moved back, you know, I'm making sure I register to vote here in the city, in Irving. And beyond the fact, this is something I don't think I've ever really done. I think I've done before, but not to this extent and this early, is researching what else is going to be on my ballot so I can understand as much as I possibly can the different candidates and seeing what they bring to the table. Because it's easy to go right now, just, you know, check off all the boxes and say, you know, no, you got all the Republicans out of office, you go straight Democrat. But like some of these city, the attorney general situation, you feel mm-hmm. me? Like, who's going to be the deputy commissioner? Like all these different positions, they don't come with a party affiliate. You know, all you see on that ballot is just a name. And in your mind, because there's no political party affiliate to that, so it's just easy to disassociate yourself as if this isn't important. So you're just going to check off a random name or box that, you know, sounds whatever. But, you know, understand the importance of that and understand the importance that that plays collectively in, you know, state politics and having a representative, someone who represents your community and your neighborhood. So we can avoid situations. Where they're continue to redraw the Texas state map, you know what I'm saying, to further benefit their own agendas and initiatives that they have and you know, continue to suppress us. And that's due to the simple fact that, you know, literally, I checked the representative here. It came down to a couple hundred votes. It's crazy, you know? And the people who voted there was like maybe like 3,000, 4,000 people, you know? So that's what I would just have people remember and recognize is that, you know, ultimately, you're going to be voting for a president, hoping that you can see some change. But the change that you're really trying to see on a micro level is going to be your city election.
Right.
It's going to be the local elections and state elections. And so you should have just as much attention on that. You should do just as much as research on that. You should be just as aware on that as you are with the presidential election. Because presidential election, that's easy. You're going to see that everywhere. But who's going to really tell you what's going on in your city? You got to keep tune with that. That's ultimately the role and responsibility we all have as individuals to do right now, because it all meshes together at the end of the day. One of them is macro picture, the other one's micro picture. And you can't have one without the other.
And Dane, you're a Lakers fan.
Right.
They're up 2-0 right now against the Heat.
Of course.
In the finals. And it looks like they're going to finish the job.
Yep.
And they're going to bring the Larry O'Brien Trophy to Los Angeles.
That's the plan.
My question to you as a Lakers fan, I know in the past how you felt about LeBron as far as, you know, you weren't really on the LeBron hype train.
No, not because of his status, but just because of the fandom. The people that are, of course, somehow now Lakers fans because he's on the team. That is what I didn't like. And it made me hard to accept him as the guy, the face of the NBA.
Right. And then you've also, you know, told me personally, like, man, I respect LeBron, who he is a person. This has nothing to do with that. I know how you feel about him on that level. If they finish the job with these last two wins, with everything that's going on this year with COVID and obviously with Kobe not being here anymore, I guess it'll be a two-part question. Okay. What would it be, or what would it mean to you as a, you know, Kobe Bryant? You know, you've always been a Kobe Bryant guy. What would this mean to you and for his family, Los Angeles, the organization as a whole, if they can finish the job and get these last two wins?
I think it's something that now, if for whatever reason, if the Lakers lose in the finals, it's okay. And if for whatever reason, the Lakers win in the finals, it's still okay. His legacy is his legacy with or without this ring that he's going to get. Sorry, I don't mean to come off arrogant saying that. But what it does for Laker Nation, what it does for that city, what it does for everyone that's been grieving because of the lives that were lost on that day in January, it brings a sense of hope and it brings a sense of, okay, we needed this to get, not to get over it, because you'll never get over it. Right. You lose someone there, you know, that's a hard thing for anyone to cope with. But at least this allows the city to come together. Now, I have no idea what this would mean in the future, but anybody who's anybody can appreciate a story like this. We lost a really great icon. Someone more than just a basketball player, but just a great human being. And I think the icing on the cake would be to bring home the championship back to LA. But all things are not promised. And of course, this is not about
this isn't about any of us, honestly. Obviously, this isn't about any of us, but it's a sports does one good thing and unifies us and brings us all closer together.
Yeah.
So I think if anything, it'll just make us appreciate the ones that we have here at the moment instead of, you know, God forbid, waiting until they're gone to give them their roses. So anything, it just brings everybody close together.
We're joined by one of our biggest inspirations that really, really helped us start our own podcast. I know back like four years ago or so, man, we started listening to this podcast with LaJethro and Dragonfly Jones, man. And we're joined by LaJethro Jenkins, man. How are you doing? Appreciate you coming on with us, bro.
No, it's nothing. Thanks for asking me to come on, man. And thanks for, you know, supporting us for that long, man. We've been doing this for a little bit, so. Because these kids are different. We see this guy, was it the Greek
league? French dude,
16, seven, he's 7'12", okay?
Right, that's
right, 7'12", got the wingspan of a pterodactyl, all right?
Jump shot look like KD.
You know what I mean? And it's like, bro, I tweeted, whenever I see him play, I literally hear, da-na-na-na-na-na. No. I hear the X-Files, you know what I'm saying, theme music playing in the background. I hear that. You feel me? We need to call Mulder and Scully. Get them on the job. Because this kid, whatever egg he cracked from, you know what I mean? Whatever hatched him, be different. What I do want to say is, if you're something you want to do, fucking do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't listen to Jenkins and Jones. Don't go to Dunk Bay. Do what you led to do. How about that? You know what I'm saying? So, for sure. And check these milk boys out. Hey, this was fun, man.
Appreciate
y'all
it.
Some good dudes. Y'all good at this. I was nowhere near as good at this, bro. Like,
hey, thank
flowing
you.
Flowing questions. You know, like, thought provoking.
we had Master Tespassian on a couple of weeks ago on one of our podcasts from Report, and he said the same thing. So that coming from y'all, man, that means a lot, man. We just doing what we love, grinding. You know, like you said, just trying to see what happens, you know.
We just want to say thank you to everyone that's shown us love on social media. Yeah, man, it's been great. Everybody, friends and family that have tuned in and shared with others, we really, really appreciate it.
We're very appreciative of everyone taking the time out their busy day to listen to this podcast. You could be doing a million other things with your time out the day, but I just want to highlight this podcast is probably about an hour long. Now, there are 24 hours in a day. Okay. So the average person should get about 8 hours of sleep. So that leaves you with 16 hours. And of course, if you're any type of functioning being in this universe, you probably have a job. One might say you're at work for about 8 hours a day. So boom, so we're going to attract 8 hours from that. So now we're down to 8 hours.
8 hours.
So 24, let me round this back, 24 minus 8 and then minus another 8, we're back here at, you know, 8. So yeah, 8 hours a day. Now, you might spend time in your car commuting to work, so we'll put in about an hour in that. So with 7 hours left, 7 hours, I'm pretty sure you have a family. Maybe you have a girlfriend. Maybe you have a fiance, right? Mm-hmm. So let's cut out, 4 hours. Boom. So that leaves us with 4 hours remaining. So you have 4 hours that you might spend eating. Of those 4 hours, you might spend 3 hours eating. Bam. So we subtract 3 hours. Boom. You got 1 hour left. What's that 1 hour left dedicated to? You listening to this podcast.
Podcast.
We appreciate that. Friends, family, strangers, you know, little cats, dogs, children. We appreciate that. We appreciate you for coming into our circle and just hanging out with us, blabbering, and talk nonsense for an hour on the interwebs.
On the interwebs.
And from one half of the duo to y'all, appreciate y'all, because without y'all, there's no us. And without us, there's no y'all. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. Without y'all, there's no us. So we appreciate y'all.
We do appreciate it.
For your 1 hour.
For your 1 hour out of your busy.
1 hour.
Busy day.
Yeah, so that is 30 episodes of content that we gave over the year, and we are here in 2020. Hopefully we can keep the momentum going and the rest of the momentum year into 2021, the momentum. But momentum. Since, you know, we just had Thanksgiving and, you know, we were thankful for our family and, of course, the food.
Yeah, of course, food.
But, Dane, what were you talking about? Talking about something we're not thankful for?
Yeah, tell about something you're not thankful for. So for me, I know that's backwards, but you'll get the humor of it on the backside of it. Pause. I ain't thankful for Nats.
Oh, so, bro.
Nats. I don't know. I appreciate God for everything He created, but I just wanted to ask Him what was them intended for? Why we got Nats? Because the other day I opened up the patio door, just the screen door, in hopes to get some air into the house, and there was Nats on the inside of the screen door. So I had to immediately close the glass door so they wouldn't get in the house. So the following day I had to go outside and hurry up and get out there with my, you know, I had my my bug spray, my bug repellent. And I doused the entire screen door to make sure I got all them jokers. So RIP to all like 10 of them gnats. But what we got gnats for? I don't like that. I don't appreciate them. Somebody to educate me about why we had them. Why we have them. If they're important, I appreciate that. But for right now, I don't like that. And I'm unthankful for that.
I'm like unthankful. Mine popped in my head too. I'm unthankful for allergies. Like,
woo,
allergies, man. Especially around this time. If I sneeze, I got a hole in my sneeze. People think I got the Rona and stuff. So I'm like having a heart attack holding in my sneeze. So I don't want no allergies, man. I'm not thankful for that. But
Claritin Carl over here.
Oh, yeah. Popping my allergy. I popped two yesterday, or was it day before yesterday? And I was still sniffing and. I hope you guys enjoyed the clips, and that will conclude season one for us here on the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. We will get back to recording our episode soon and catch up on all things NFL. NBA is coming back next Monday. So short. Your boys got to defend that title.
Oh, of course. The Lakers, of course. That is.
Yeah.
New and improved.
As always, you can catch all our episodes on any streaming platform and also on our website, the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast.com. And for Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley, we out this thing.
Peace.